On this Thursday installment of Locked On Texans, top takeaways from the second week of OTA's practices and what to expect from Derek Stingley Jr. as we enter year two.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of the Locked On Texans podcast with a whole new setup, as you guys can see.
Yes, sir. If
you're watching on YouTube, your team every day. Shout out to our everydayers from the Himalayas checking us out Monday through Friday. If you are new to the Locked On Texans podcast, be sure to subscribe to the Locked On Texans podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And as always, make sure that you scroll over to YouTube as well to subscribe, like, and comment. I am John, some sports guy Hickman, joined by none other than Sports Illustrated's own and Texan Credential Media member, Cody Davis. Today's show is really all about from Cody's eyes to your ears and your eyes if you're watching on YouTube as well as we dive into the contract talks for Titus Howard, year two of Derek Stingley Jr., the expectations surrounding the former number three overall pick. But, Cody, we got to start off with C.J. Stroud taking first-team reps. Listen, at one point during the day, C.J. Stroud went 3 of 4 during 7-on-7, which included a 30-yard bomb caught by Nico Collins down the field. By the way, that may be the best news for me.
I can't wait to talk about that.
Can't wait to talk about it. The best news to hear that there is a connection for Nico Collins and utilizing him vertically in the passing game. Also, Dalton Schultz, Shaq Griffin was in attendance during Wednesday's OTAs, but they did not practice. Cody, while you were out there, I'm sure, in the heat of the sun, what were your top takeaways? And then let's talk about C.J. Stroud taking first-team reps.
Well, that was the biggest takeaway that took place during OTA practice on Wednesday. C.J. Stroud taking first-team reps. And at first, John, listeners and viewers, I'm not going to lie. I did not think that that was a big deal because, look, these are the Houston Texans. And I wouldn't be surprised as I'm standing out there looking at C.J. Stroud taking first team reps, you know, going back to last week. For those of you who missed it, Davis Mills took first team reps. And when I saw C.J. Stroud take first team reps, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not going to put too much into this only because I would not be surprised if we go out there next week and it be Case Keenum taking first team reps, because those are the type of things the Houston Texans like to do. However, I did not think it was a big deal until I heard the improvements of what Coach D'Amico Ryans had to say.
Yeah, CJ, again, he's progressing well. I think each day he continues to get better, continues to get more comfortable with the verbiage of the offense. His command of the huddle, I thought this week was been really good. Coming off the long weekend, it was very, you know, eye-opening how on it he was, right? From the first day we got back through today, done an awesome job in our situational period. So he's definitely progressing in the right direction, and the sky's the limit for him.
Comfortable with the verbiage and his command of the huddle. John, let's go back a couple weeks ago at the start of rookie minicamp. Coach D'Amico Ryan said that communication was the most important thing for C.J. Stroud as a rookie quarterback, and they placed a hefty emphasis on that important attribute. And last week, he said that C.J. Stroud still needed to improve. This week, he's taking first-team reps. But at the same time, you heard him finally say that C.J. is showing some improvements with his communication. John, that lets me know that the Houston Texans are definitely heading in the right direction where you want to see C.J. Stroud as of right now. And of course, when you talk about C.J. Stroud, look, his ability to pass the football, everything you want to see out of your potential franchise quarterback is there. He looked really good doing 7-on-7, 11-on-11s. By the way, the connection between him and Nico Collins It's there. I know it's early. I don't want to get excited, but those of you who have been rocking with Locked On Texans over the last, 3 years, you know how I feel about my guy, Nico Collins. And like I've been saying, the only thing that he needed was health and a really good quarterback. John, listeners and viewers, CJ Stroud, Nico Collins connected about 4 or 5 times on yesterday between 7-on-7 and 11-on-11s. And by the way, I had an opportunity to really compare CJ Stroud to see where he was when compared to Davis Mills and Case Keenum. CJ Stroud, I would say as of right now, and at least on yesterday, his ball placement was better than Davis Mills and Case Keenum, because both of those other guys had moments where their targets had to kind of like contort their body in order to catch the ball, which, by the way, Jarrett Wayne caught a phenomenal pass from Case Keenum, and it was one of those where he had to really contort his body in order to make the reception, and he looked really good on yesterday as well. But in terms of the ball placement that I saw, that was the biggest thing that stood out to me in terms of the difference between CJ Stroud, Davis Mills, and Case Keenum. Some other takeaways I do want to mention in terms of Davis Mills: he looked okay on yesterday. Did not look as good as last week. However, I do want to mention he did throw an interception, but it wasn't his fault. The pass was tipped by a defender. I can't remember who tipped it, but Jordan Murray, the tight end, was his target. Tank Dell continues to look good. He had a nice reception and double coverage between Graylin Arnold and Darius Phillip. He looked really good, really phenomenal. And, of course, when you talk about Tank Dell, he is still being one of the primary guys that's practicing kickoff returns on special teams.
You know, a couple of things that are new. First of all, we got the new setup. Cody just said, what was the word? Contort?
Yeah, contort his body.
New words. And then for Houston, the new quarterback, one of the biggest takeaways that I took away from Wednesday's OTAs was defensive coordinator Matt Burke, brought over from Arizona. Hadn't really talked about him a lot, but Matt Burke said that CJ Stroud came up to him after practice to ask about the coverages he didn't recognize in order to adapt to what the defense would throw at him, putting an emphasis on Stroud's on CJ Stroud being intentional about learning coverages and defense. I mean, that's coming from your DC. I think that's it right there, right? Honestly, because when you make that jump from the collegiate level to the NFL, coverages change, and how the defense can mask the coverage change in the NFL, on top of the speed of the game changing as well. Everybody's faster at the NFL level. So for your quarterback, you want your quarterback to be able to think properly, recognize and dissect that defense before the ball is even snapped. So I think that's my biggest takeaway for Matt Burke to come out and say, our quarterback, I know you talked about the defense, but our quarterback, our young rookie quarterback, is coming up to me spending time intentionally trying to learn about the defensive coverages and what's going on with that. By the way, shout out to the Houston Texans coaching staff. They wore orange on Wednesday in support of the Uvalde and going against the gun violence in America. So that was day one of week two, but day one of the media having access out there for this week. CJ Stroud looked good with the first team reps, and for everybody that, oh my gosh, Davis Mills, what happened?
Hey, look, it's still early. That's why at first I did not want it to place too much emphasis on it. However, like I mentioned, man, to hear Coach D'Amico Ryans talk about the improvements that he really been harping on ever since the start of rookie minicamp, one, that also lets you know that CJ Stroud is picking this stuff up very, very quickly.
Which is
surprising for somebody who scored so low on his S2 test.
If you were in politics, you would be a lobbyist. Listen, man, the reason why he's taking first team reps is because this team knows he's going to be our first team quarterback. So last week was the walkthrough formality of things, and now CJ Stroud is taking snaps under center. I loved hearing about the connection between him and Nico Collins. I really did. I think that you know, by some long shot, if Houston doesn't get the opportunity to sign DeAndre Hopkins, this team is still without a number one receiver, quote unquote. And we've heard from Nico Collins before. As a matter of fact, Cody, I think it was your question. He's told you, am I mistaken, that he wanted to be amongst the Andre Johnsons.
Oh, yeah, he told me that. Yep.
Of the franchise. So, hey, man, before CJ Stroud, I have viewed Nico Collins as a possession receiver, the guy that you want to mainly use for, you know, going out there to get first downs. He's had moments where he's been able to be utilized down the field, but not consistently, which probably played more into my belief of him being a possession receiver. But if those two former Big Ten players can hook up consistently and often on Sundays, well, that we may be looking at Nico Collins as a guy that 900 receiving yards on a year, six TDs in his third year, a huge growth in his game and production. We may look at him as the future number one receiver for this team. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet option up to $2,500. That's 2.5K right there. That is 2.5K back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Did y'all hear what I just said? 2.5K back if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel has great promotions every day. It's a safe and secure app. And most of all, most importantly, you get paid instantly. There's no better place to bet on all of the playoff action than America's number one sports book. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn. And get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,000, $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Welcome back in, Locked On Texan listeners and viewers out there in the YouTube world, whether you're watching from home because you're working remotely or got some time off because you're a teacher and it's the summertime. By the way, shout out to all the teachers out there. Getting that summertime off, getting that summertime grind for yourself and away from other people's kids. That's more importantly. Some more takeaways from Wednesday OTAs. Special team coordinator Frank Ross. As you guys may know, the NFL recently just changed the kickoff rule. And he talked about that, said, let's keep football tough. I got to agree, man. The new football kickoff rules, I think, is taking away an element that really heightens the game. And I get it, right? I think safety is number one, of course. But this is a sport everybody knows signed up for to play. And I think when you change the rule to kickoff, that takes the excitement away. That takes the opportunity for teams to have moments to where I could run it back and or possibly get a good kickoff return to put my team in a certain scoring ability. But I don't like it. Also, Texans tight end coach Jake Moreland said that you won't have blocking tight ends and you won't have pass catching tight ends. Guys will be required to do it all. So I'm excited to see the combination between Dalton Schultz and second-year man TQ Teagan Quatoriano. The H-back position is going to be very intriguing as well. You got Troy Harrison, Andrew Beck, who signed in the offseason, and I wonder how this team could possibly utilize Brevin Jordan if he's going to be a part of this 53-man roster moving forward. We got to talk about Derek Stingley Jr., but before we do that, cornerback Jacoby Francis has gotten a lot of work during this offseason. So far, Shaq Griffin, who signed last week, hadn't been on the field. Steven Nelson hasn't been at voluntary OTAs this offseason. So Houston has got a good opportunity to see Jacoby Francis, who made a couple of plays on Wednesday as well. Year two of Derek Stingley Jr. Cody, what does that look like from what you're seeing out on the practice field?
Hopefully it means that Derek Stingley Jr. is going to be healthy. And look, there
and all
is
pro offset. A Pro Bowler, I'll say it.
I mean, put it like this. Now, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. There's a guy in New York that's getting all the publicity. Derek Stingley.
That was last week.
Is a competitor.
We just talked about this.
If you want to go all pro, I think I'll sign off on that. Because the one thing about Derek Stingley, look, we talked a lot about him learning under Coach D'Amico Ryans, and we all believe that Coach D'Amico Ryans is definitely going to orchestrate a defense suitable to his players. And so we feel comfortable for saying that about Derek Stingley, why we feel so strongly about him taking this jump in year two. However, the biggest knock against Stingley, of course, is going to be his health. And ever since the start of OTAs, we have seen Derek Stingley look bigger. So it seemed like that he spent this entire offseason adding weight, but it's healthy weight. As of right now, he's still listed at 190 for his weight, but I do believe that Derek Stingley got to be at least 210, and I think that weight is definitely going to help him stay healthy throughout a full NFL season. I know some people, when you saw Derek Stingley Jr., some people, and I had a couple people tweet me, you know, whether or not the weight he has added is going to slow him down. Will he lose some of the speed that he is known for, that he was known for last year, that he was known for during his days at LSU? And I'm happy to tell everybody, as of right now, no, the weight that he put on has not hampered his speed at all. He's coming off the line of scrimmage, very explosive. He's getting downfield. And actually, to me, it looks like he's moving better this year versus last year from when the last time we saw him. By the way, for those of you guys who forgot, Derek Stingley Jr. only played 9 games before he went down with a hamstring injury. John, on yesterday, had an opportunity to catch up with cornerback coach Dino Vasso, and this is what he had to say. So year two for Derek Stingley Jr., what have you seen for him in just terms of his growth from his rookie season up until this point at OTAs?
Yeah, I think he's made big strides from his rookie year, just trying to economize his movements, become more efficient mover, just refining his technique and then learning the new scheme. So I'm encouraged by all that.
Cool. And what do you think this year two jump is going to mean for him personally? Because, you know, last year we saw him go through the learning curves, but before his injury, it seemed like he was really starting to get it going.
Yeah, I'd say there were some ups and downs, but consistently he was improving. So, again, he only played about half the year, but if he finished the year, I think he would have finished in a good spot. So I'm excited to see where he is.
This is going to be the second year of the pairing between him and Steven Nelson. So what do you think that pairing is going to, how that pairing is going to improve under Coach D'Amico Ryans this year?
Yes, Steve's been great for him. Steve's a veteran guy. He's played a lot of ball, and he's played in schemes similar to this. With his own coverage, has some pattern match elements to it. So I think that favors his skill set. So I'm excited to see what he has.
The best thing about Derek Stingley Jr.'s rookie season is the fact that he was one of 5 defensive backs who did not allow a touchdown. John, I think everybody's favorite play was him learning on the fly, especially in that game against the Denver Broncos, where I think it was Courtland Sutton, if I'm not mistaken, who caught the touchdown pass on him. They called it back, and we saw him make that adjustment. And even though Russell Wilson went right back to Courtland, he was able to get the pass deflection. So, you know, I know some people might be down on Derek Stingley Jr. We talked about it last week, and I just wanted to bring it back this week, especially really having an opportunity to pay attention to his body movement. On yesterday during OTA practice, this is going to be a very big year for Derek Stingley Jr., and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, all of the videos I've been watching, man, athletically, he looks phenomenal. And one of the things that I'm noticing is how fluid his hips are right now, how fluid and active his feet is right now, his footwork, but he's not taking any wasted movement, none of that. So I like the fact that for Derek Stingley, this is his first full healthy offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And the showing with his body adjusting from his rookie year to his sophomore year, like his body getting bigger. He put on the freshman 15, but in a good way, right? In terms of getting bigger, but getting stronger for the NFL level. And it shows out there, Cody, how many times when you were out there on the field, you just witnessed Derek Stingley be around the ball. Did he look twitchy? Did he look faster? God. Did he look like he was able to make a breakup on the play quicker than maybe what you saw last offseason, preseason, those moments where he was still trying to get accustomed to the NFL?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And I also want to mention this. And, you know, like I mentioned when we first started this conversation about Stingley, how Coach D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burt, how the way they're going to orchestrate a defense. The way he was able to move around on yesterday, and I keep going back to yesterday because that was the first time that I had an opportunity to truly see him as he entered year two. It seems like to me he's no longer thinking on the field. There were several times, whether it was in training camp, practice, and of course during games, it seemed like Stingley was always thinking more than playing. This year, it seems like the flow of the defense, as of right now at least, it seems like the flow of the defense is just going to have Darius Stingley just go out there and just play. And John, I think you said it best when we was talking to Big Sarge last week, to where, you know, regardless of what the play call is, you do what Richard Sherman used to do with the Seattle Seahawks. You know, you just do your own thing and lock up the opposing team best wide receiver. And I would not be surprised if ultimately we get to that point, because like I mentioned, you know, his body movement and everything seemed quicker, seemed sharper, and he's no longer thinking. He's just going out there and playing. And I think for a guy like Darius Stingley, who was just so gifted at times, that might be the best thing for him.
Yeah, we look at the addition of the Matt Burks, the D'Amico Ryans, keeping Dino Vasso. That's allowing this young man to find comfort. Mm-hmm. Even as much as we criticize, rightfully so, Lovie Smith the last season, at times the ups and the downs, maybe due to him being in that system, he still had moments where you saw him making the adjustments to being outside of his comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So I believe moving forward, once he become more of one of those savvier vets, this team will be comfortable asking him to maybe sit in it, cover two, cover those the flats or something like that. So I'm expecting big things from him. Right? And I started off joking by saying all pro. That's a whole lot to ask of a man. coming off a year where he did suffer an injury, didn't play for the final, you know, few games. But I do think that Darius Stingley can, at the end of the year, realistically, which cornerback in this division will wear the crown as the best cornerback?
Gotta be him.
There it is. Welcome back in, Locked On Texan listeners and viewers. Before we end today's show, I don't think we can talk about it in depth, but according to Aaron Wilson, Titus Howard, right tackle for the Houston Texans, is expected to be in line for a big time contract extension. This would solidify Houston's offensive line moving forward. You got Laremy Tunsil under contract. Mm-hmm. Shaq Mason under contract. Mm-hmm. Just drafted Juice Scruggs, who's under contract on his rookie deal. Kenyon Green is on his rookie contract. And now Laremy Tunsil could possibly get that extension. I think with Houston having so much money next year in the offseason, getting him signed, if they truly believe in him, getting him signed right now is the smarter business decision. And Cody, I forgot who you compared the possible contract to, my man Mike McGlinchey. Let's see, Mike McGlinchey. Yeah, Mike McGlinchey. Mike McGlinchey. He just signed his contract. It was worth
$87.5 million, but puts him in a ballpark somewhere between $16 to $18 million.
Yeah,
a year.
I think that'll be fair for Titus Howard. Honestly, I would prefer, this is just me talking, let's see what Titus Howard does midway through the season.
It's a dangerous game. Titus Howard gets better every year.
So I'm not saying not to sign him to the extension.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying we've seen Nick Caserio at times during the season sign guys to some of these extensions. I think Rex Burkhead is the first guy to come to my mind right now. By no means am I comparing Rex Burkhead's talent or value to this team, what it was to what Tytus Howard can be. What I am saying is for Tytus Howard, the ups and downs of his career, just from a stabilization standpoint from this franchise, I would be okay if Houston just, you know, maybe week six or seven, see what's going on, then get that deal done. But if they believe that this could be the smart decision to make sure that CJ is protected for the next 4 to 5 seasons, by all means, get the deal done.
Gotta be, man. And I remember with that conversation we talked about, that was one of the primary reasons why I want to see Nick Caserio get this deal done with Tytus Howard. Get it done now. Lock him up. You could get him at a really good price. And as you mentioned, John, over the next 5 to 6 seasons, you will have your offensive line intact. Especially considering that at the end of Laremy Tunsil deal and Tytus Howard deal, that's a guy by the name of CJ Stroud who's going to be up for a contract extension. And at this point, I'm expecting him to be a Pro Bowler, maybe All Pro, probably one time. And depending on how much better CJ Stroud will surpass everybody's expectations, you definitely know he's going to break the bank. And oh my God, I don't even want to think about what the quarterback market is going to look like in the next 5 years. But at the same time, when you take a look at the most important 5 years for CJ, for this organization, the best thing for them to do is lock Tytus Howard down now. I know nobody don't want to talk about his name, but just go back and take a look at how they handled Deshaun Watson. Due to your inabilities, how you screwed up the situation with Dwayne Brown, Deshaun Watson walked into a terrible offensive line. Remember, he got his butt handed to him 62 times during his sophomore season. That put the Houston Texans in scramble mode to fix the offensive line. You know, you made that trade for Laremy Tunsil, which I still stand 100% by. I still buy it then, standing by it now. You know, you went out there, you drafted Tytus Howard. No, you ain't got to worry about that with CJ Stroud. Lock him in now. You have that offensive line set for the next 3 to 5 seasons. And then that gives you an opportunity to spend money, to spend draft capitals on building around CJ Stroud. Or that gives you an opportunity to continue building on the defensive side of the ball. Smart thing. Get it done now. I'm hoping get it done before training camp. I don't want to wait. Because if you wait, the money's the yesterday's, what's that saying? Yesterday's prices.
It's not today's price.
That's what I mean. And if you wait come week 7, he's on trajectory for his first Pro Bowl selection, then you're going to be in trouble because the money's going to go up.
Thank you guys for checking out today's episode of the Locked On Texan podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Texan. Take those same 2 thumbs, scroll over to YouTube, subscribe, like, comment. Let us know how you feel about the Houston Texans and how you think Derek Stingley Jr. is going to do this year. Can he be an All-Pro like his rookie classmate from last year? Can he be a Pro Bowler? Better yet, will he be the undisputed best cornerback in this division?
And as always, I'm your host, Cody M. Davis. Please remember to follow me on Twitter at CodyDavis_24. Once again, that's Cody, CodyDavis_24. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, peace.